Good evening and welcome, everyone. It's so good to be back with you and to see all of your wonderful faces here. So we join together again this evening in our shared intention, our shared yearning for the fullness of life, the fullness of the human possibility in and as Christ. So together we can affirm that there is light divine. There are laws of the universe. There are dimensions of being. And there's also grace and mercy available for each one of us. So we begin in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent. The Holy Living Trinity. Amen. May we always remember we are beloved of the Father, in the Son, through the Holy Spirit, always. I'd like to begin this evening with a special word of gratitude for Jill and Mimi for their gifts of wisdom and presence last week. It was a real gift to me to return and to receive those impressions that they bestowed upon us. So thank you so much, Jill and Mimi. This evening, we will continue again, as Jill did, by remembering Burl Pogson, Maurice Nichols, esteemed secretary for 19 years and a leader of a number of work groups throughout Europe after his death. Her birthday was June 4th, 1895. And she died in 1967. So these are her words. She tells us, let us think of the strength of the work, the enormous strength, force, and power. Call it what we will, the sheer magnificent splendor of it, its ability to lift us right out of our ordinary life. The small things, not the beautiful and real things of life, of which there are some, but all the littlenesses in the light of the work, they all fade away, but only if we are working, of course. When we work, we generate light, and the more we generate, the more we understand. And the more our being grows. Always commence a new day in a new way. Take a piece of the day, as it were, and use that piece to the uttermost. Make aim for whatever piece of the day we choose. Preferably use a piece when we are right in life, have to be in life, and see for how long we can really hold it. Take a piece of day and make it a piece of work. So let us do so this evening. Mrs. Pogson, as she was called, we honor your life, and may your influence be a stimulus for us, for our work, for our being, for the good of one another. So now we prepare ourselves to settle in our present time, to remember our aims for coming here, to begin to see, to begin to understand, to begin to love. And we do so quietly, asking our heart to hear what it is for us at this time. To let go of fear, to risk, for this matters, to our very selves, for one another, for the influences that we are emanating into the world. We place ourselves with intention and trust and receptivity. to the influences coming from the circle of conscious humanity. And we prepare to receive them with all the consciousness that we could possibly muster. With back upright, heart open, mind quiet, and directed attention, body relaxed, noticing perhaps, and then releasing places of tension, particularly in our face, the small muscles of our face. Releasing, allowing. And we breathe in all every most hidden part of our being. All being, everything. Everything that passed through us this day, our world today. Everything that may have hurt, that confused, that created fear or anger or brought heaviness, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than, everything. Everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy, all affirming, all denying, and we hold it as offering, reconciled as food for being. We lift it and ask that all be transubstantiated in our being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved of God, as we ourselves are beloved of God. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over all complexities. I hand over all plans. I hand over all anxieties and small fears of my heart. I open to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. So now we enter into our time of Lectio Divina. And we will share our reading three times with a silent pause between each reading. And we breathe it in. Whoops, sorry. Breathe it in. Allow it to enter us, inform us, speak to us about our journey. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Friction arises and we can resist, resent, or we can work. The work invites us to use this energy for our and others' inner growth and transformation. This requires effort and a skillfulness to observe the eyes that want to react or resist from an identified state. We can uncritically self-observe thoughts, feelings, body sensations, facial expressions, postures. We can breathe into these non-identified self-remember. We can realize that third force is available by way of the very body of work ideas we are exploring. Until we come to know and see, then, from now on, we regard no one according to just the flesh. For everyone in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to God's self through Jesus Christ and given us to the ministry of reconciliation. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Friction arises and we can resist, resent, or we can work. The work invites us to use this energy for our and others' inner growth and transformation. This requires effort and a skillfulness to observe the eyes that want to react or resist from an identified state. We can uncritically self-observe thoughts, feelings, body sensations, facial expressions, postures. We can breathe into these non-identify self-remember. We can realize that third force is available by way of the very body of work ideas we are exploring. Until we come to know and see, then, from now on, we regard no one according to just the flesh. Everyone in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to God's self through Jesus Christ and given us to the ministry of reconciliation. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Friction arises and we can resist, resent, or we can work. The work invites us to use this energy for our and others' inner growth and transformation. This requires effort and a skillfulness to observe the eyes that want to react or resist from an identified state. We can uncritically self-observe thoughts, feelings, body sensations, facial expressions, postures. We can breathe into these, non-identify, self-remember. We could realize that third force is available by way of the very body of work ideas we are exploring. Until we come to know and see, then, from now on, we regard no one according to just the flesh. Everyone in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who have reconciled us to God's self through Jesus Christ, and given us too the ministry of reconciliation. And so it is. Jackie. Yes, good evening. It's so good to see you.
Good evening, Marianne. I've missed you so much, and yeah. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I've missed you too.
Okay, what I heard in particular was that we can resist, resent, or we can work. And with today's lesson on the second line of work, that is particularly useful. I went to my little W work today. I go early in the morning and I only have to show up at the office two times a week. And my immediate supervisor virtually met me there this morning to let me know she's leaving the agency in 2 weeks, totally unexpected by me. I knew that she was looking elsewhere, but I was praying that she would not leave. And it came as a shock to me. We had a fabulous discussion, she and I, the most personal discussion I probably ever had with her. And she left my office, and I was just stunned in that moment. And my first action was to pick up the phone and to call my work partner, because I was late calling my work partner. This was the time to do that, as the Holy Spirit would have it. And it was exactly what I needed to hear, the support from my beloved work partner. In that moment where I was at a very immediate low point. And to recognize, as I've been reading the commentaries that have been suggested to us in this last week's lesson, the commentaries in the first volume on internally and externally considering, and the importance of first, understanding where we are internally considering in order to externally consider, and in particular, that everybody has difficulties. And this person who's leaving is leaving me to deal with a the actual leader of this department who has great difficulties. And he was the person I was considering all this week, actually, to externally consider. And I recognize the work is for me. The work is coming up to meet me exactly where I need it to be. And I have tools, and he does not have tools. And this is all for me. And I was reminded in the most beautiful way, in the most loving way, in that moment by my own work partner. We are so blessed here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And my work is ahead of me, and I recognize that. But I am so grateful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming back.
always. Till the last day and hour. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Steve, good evening.
Well, I focused on the illustration. It reminded me of a betrothal tree that we have at Emily Ann Theater here in Wimberley. And the Native Americans used to plant these trees close to each other, and then they would fuse their trunks, and then they grow up strong. And a lot of people get married there and that kind of thing. But it looked like that to me. You could see the roots, you could see the origins of the roots belonging to this side and the roots belonging to that side. And whatever wish or will was for those trees to come together, they decided to align their energies upwards. So you don't see a lot of shoots, you know, stress trees that are distracted. They throw shoots everywhere just to get some leaves out. But if you can align that, all the shoots were at the top. There was one little cluster in the center. It wasn't quite there, but it had a octaval kind of a competition there to reach for. So that's what I got out of it. So
that's beautiful. A visual of external considering. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Leanne.
Good evening, Marianne. It is so good to see you.
Oh, thank you. Likewise, Leanne.
So I heard third force and all things are of God. Mm. And I had a wonderful opportunity today as I was coming home. I was talking to a beloved who I have been externally considering for quite a while now, but particularly the past week. And she said some things to me, and I was able to observe all of my judgments, the incoming impressions that immediately went to this negative place. And it was almost comical for me because I could sit and watch myself and I was speechless. I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't know which way to turn because I could see that anything that would have come out automatically, mechanically would have been negative. And there, it's the old pattern of responding. And I can say it with a lightness because it was really pretty funny for me just to see how mechanical it was and to see how it was so easy. Those impressions just came up immediately. But to be able to see that and to take, you know, a little bit of a step back in myself and to non-identify with it, although I did identify, it was this struggle and to identification and observation, and then to self-remember. And it was such a blessing, you know, that I could have that third force there showing me how the way that I have been, my pattern, and to be able to then hopefully do something about it. So,
right. Yes, thank you.
And all of God.
All of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Leanne. So Jan, the work partner.
Unmute. Okay. So what jumped out at me is the beginning part. So one person sharpens another. And I my dad was always very proud of his, he would say, "I have a tongue sharper than a serpent's tooth." He said, "I can slash somebody with it like a samurai sword, and they can be in the corner whimpering, and I can walk off unaffected." Well, unfortunately, that was a model of mine. And there was a long time in my life where that would, you know, that just that phrase, sharper than a serpent's tooth. And of course, I never wanted to do that, but I would have this come out of my mouth, this violence, this verbiage. And today in my life, it doesn't come out of my mouth. I have to admit that sometimes, just like Leanne saying, you know, the reaction is in there. It's still there, you know, after all these years, it's still there. Sharper than a serpent's tooth. And thank God I can use the work as third force. And I can work instead of being defensive and using all those tools that I that were modeled so wonderfully for me. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad in his later life, you know, he could still do that, but he would be very selective. You know, he knew that it ran people that he loved away. Right. And so by the end of his life, he was not doing that. Thank goodness. But thank you, Marianne. And it is good to see you.
Oh, well, thank you. Likewise, Jan. Thank you. So we're going to take Melba, and then we'll have to close this part of our night because we're running a little bit behind, if it can be brief. Thank you, Melba. Good to see you too.
I just wanted to mention that the image and the passage reminded me so much of my experience of the church and the people and the community. And I feel like the community and the work has really sharpened me. And like, especially the Gurdjieff movement work.
Oh, yeah.
At our presentation this last Saturday. And the passage on the postures and the facial expressions and the, you know, fidgeting. But not only the beauty of the work, it was really, I look at the entire semester and I just can't say enough positive things about that, what I felt transubstantiate in me. And then I observed, you know, in my community, but also the way that everybody prays in, you know, right before service, or the way that people come together to create the fellowship breakfast. It's the harmony is really the aim, you know, like in the tree, that symbol up above, that tree reminded me of a trees there at the church, where we're doing all of these separate things, a lot of people coming together, three forces of lines of work, but it's the work, it's the intention, the aim. And, you know, I started doing the Journey School and the group and the Gurdjieff movement and running lights off and on, and participating in the fellowship preparation and cleanup, all of those things, I think, I'm so glad I decided to do it that way, because I've been able to experience the manifestation, the work. And I've never been in any group that isn't using the work to to do the work, to create the manifestation. And that's why I was so, from the very beginning, really stunned by the vibration. I totally get it.
This is wonderful, Melba. Thank you. It's wonderful. Yes. Thank you for your presence and your radiance. And all of you, your sharings were so meaningful, and everything that lies hidden in your heart as well. So we take that with us into the next portion of our evening. And it is now my joy to introduce Tracy Stevens, who will accompany us deeper into our journey of remembering others. Good evening and welcome, Tracy.
Good evening, Marianne. Good evening, everyone. It is a joy. It is a joy to be here and to share with all of you this evening. I heard so much of our lesson from last week in your sharing in the Lexio portion and also on the second line of the work. So we already have a great start to the evening. I'm going to just share my screen for a moment and we can review the homework from last week. So Mimi gave us several opportunities to explore external considering even further, in addition to the great insights she gave from her own experience. So there was a video that gave some basic grounding in what externally considering means. There were the commentaries, a number of commentaries in volume one that we were pointed to and suggested that we look at those over the course of the next month. And there was a particular aim around externally considering a particular person and what to observe as you're externally considering this person. So that was an aim that I've already heard some sharing on. So looking forward to hearing more. And we were also reminded of the quote from St. Therese that everything is a grace. So how can everything and everyone potentially be a vehicle of grace in our lives? It's a beautiful thing, hard to remember, but a beautiful thing. And just a special invitation for tonight to remember that external considering is a practice. So how can we consider each other in the here and the now as we listen? How can we externally consider our friends that are speaking as we share? How can we externally consider them? And just remember that we always work with delight, that we aren't working for results, that we are just setting an aim and making effort. And then we just observe what happens. You know, as Leanne was reporting, tremendous work happening, even when we're just observing and working against the expression of negative emotions. So with that, I'll open the floor to anyone who would like to share their experience with the homework or the email or the presentation from Mimi. Yes, Joe, welcome. Look like Joe's still on mute. Oh, there you are.
Stacy?
Yes, hi.
Can you see me?
I see you.
Hi.
I don't see a video. Oh,
how about now?
Yes.
I just wanted to report when my family and I were at Disneyland this week, I was externally considering Haven, and I looked in her eyes and I saw my reflection, and I saw a love image staring at her. And it was a magical moment. It really was the happiest place on earth, because after that, I looked up and I started to see Christ in every form, because there were so many people around. Christ was tall. He was colored. He was young, old, I was sleeping, or and I felt a connection to everyone, and the external considering it turned into a self-remembering in a way where I was looking at her, she was looking at me, and I realized there's higher influences, maybe looking at all of us. So that's a report. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. So beautiful, and so appreciate the work you and Jamie do to raise your children consciously. I think, you know, it's so touching for all of us, or so many of us that didn't have the work when we were raising our children when they were young. So you're creating all new energies and a new trajectory for these young people. So grateful for you. And I've had a similar experience. I think external considering and self-remembering are very close. And I think it's a very high energy. And if we can access it, it does open us up to seeing Christ everywhere. So thank you. Very beautiful story. Karen, glad to see you back.
Thank you. Hi, Tracy. Hello, everyone. Wow, what a trip this has been for me. I'm so grateful for the work that CCH has shown me. My adventure right now is ending a life cycle. So I've come to a end of an octave and to begin another. And yay, I sold my house today. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers and blessings. And it really happened. So I got to see myself, observe what I was feeling and thinking about in terms of what this big change of life has to bring me. As they say, it's all a gift. And so I have looked at people, many kinds of people, and there's always the judgment first. I wish it wasn't, but it's there. It's just the and then I can externally consider that what I'm seeing is not all of who or what is there. And I began to go up the scale instead of just falling to the bottom of the pit. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful when I have to look at self-observe and look at myself and wonder, the biggest wonder is, could I really receive and have all this goodness in my life? That has been some of the hardest work that I do, to consider, not pridefully, but in gratitude, what and how I've been given different things in my life. And there's a lot of things that are leading my life. I'm not sure what all is coming in, but I'm grateful for that. And I was surprised when I reached this decision that it's time for me to make this choice and use the tools that I've learned to use from my life experiences and CCH. I've learned to be kinder and more gentle to myself and to others. And I made the decision, I made an incorrect decision. Well, anyway, I made the decision to go to this one place. And I found out, no, this isn't quite right. And I could go with that intuition and the feeling of I don't have to put up. I don't have to do things that I used to do that didn't really bring me a lot of happiness. So I think I've talked too long, and I appreciate everyone's prayers and thoughts, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen, and congratulations. And thank you. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your work on external considering. And I loved all the words of gratitude I heard from you. It's a very, very powerful reconciling force. For me, maybe the most powerful I've experienced. So I commend you on your work and look forward to hearing about your next octave. All right, Margaret, good to see you.
Thank you, Tracy. I was a little bit confused about external considering, so the video helped a lot. And then the commentaries, I read the commentaries and kind of helped pull it together. What I learned from it was it's not enough to just do kind things or be good to your neighbors and friends. That external considering is like self-remembering. You have to have this deputy steward on the side and kind of split yourself and let that person become that person seeing you as you react. And it's kind of like a Christ-like vision. And sometimes you can give hope. Sometimes you can give compassion, love, joy, whatever is needed, but you're guided. And this is not to just select people. This is to everyone, including the homeless lady that's in the shower cleaning herself and her clothes for the week. Just a little love goes a long way for that type of person. So I'm living it now, and I really appreciate everything I've learned this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. So it sounds like you were able to put it on. You felt like you were able to do that inner separation and really kind of feel into the other person's experience.
Yes, because I just don't want to be that person that internal considering is negative, and I just don't want to be that type of person. So, yeah, I was able to look at it from their point of view and see a more gentler approach to humanity.
Yes, thank you. Sounds like a deep wish coming from your heart that really gave you the energy to externally consider.
Yes.
Thank you. Jack and Jackie.
Oh, there you go again. It's me. So when I hear work on externally considering, I always go to the passive aspect, and that is, when am I internally considering? And that always shows me the path to external considering. So like Jackie said earlier, been working on a really nice pork roast and spinach and sweet potato on that. And Jackie comes in like, and I go, what's up with that? And then that moment, I recognize Jackie's had what she just described. And that, that sets up external considering. And it's just the most beautiful thing to be able to shift from pushing another button to preparing dinner for someone I love Another incident aspect of this was movements demonstration on Saturday. Internally considering for the 20 some odd years we've been doing these things, there's an internal consideration that why aren't more people involved in this thing? Well, and then I got the videotape of Saturday's presentation and I recognized, oh, externally considering, this has given me more than I could ever imagine. Thank you for your participation, by the way. And it doesn't matter what's negative in here. What matters is this, that I am been blessed to land on this holy ground, Church of Conscious Harmony, and be given so many gifts, one of which is the movements, but one of which is the movements. And to watch this group of people doing the first, second, third line of work is the most extraordinary thing. And I love our work.
Thank you, Jack. I see a man of tremendous valuation of the work. I see a man of God, a man transformed. And we're all grateful to be your friend.
I love you.
Thank you. Okay, Gay, you can wrap up our section on the homework for you.
Thank you, Tracy. A point I would like to really make, first of all, and then maybe I can come back around to it, is this. I have loved the fact that I have gotten to come around so many times to these subjects and understand them at a deeper level. I congratulate all of you that live with another human, adult humans, and especially those that live with little humans. You do really have daily practice, and so my practice, as I began the week, I decided on several aspects of the homework which I practiced. I also decided that I would read one of those 13 commentaries, one a day. As I read those commentaries, the first couple of days, they went so deep with me this time. I could see myself so clearly in some of those descriptions about internal considering and about this little private Rolodex of of internal considering and accounts that I, you know, that I've kept throughout my life. And so anyway, I'm so, so grateful for this teaching. And I'm grateful for the community. I'm grateful for my my spiritual journey group. I find it fairly easy to externally consider my friends in the community. I mean, we got some really wonderfully advanced, awake people in this community. Today, however, after having pretty much congratulated myself on a few successes, I had a doctor's appointment. And they were quite late. And as I sat there in the waiting room, I realized that there was that old tape that was beginning to run in my head about, don't they know who I am and how valuable my time is, et cetera, et cetera. So I did wake up to it fairly fast. And here's the point that for me, there are times like that when I get very identified and there's, you know, there is an I in me that says, now, wait a minute, you know, what have you been learning this week, et cetera. I cannot at that point sometimes get to externally consider at a really deep level. I can say the words, you know, these doctors are busy, they get behind, I should understand. That does not go very deep with me at times. So yeah, I can't remember if it's de Salzman or if it was in one of the commentaries that brings out a point of being passive in myself. So that is something that I find really, really valuable at times when I'm just having all kinds of trouble externally considering that other person. If I can bring my attention into myself and not be thinking the other person, not being trying to think how they might be feeling and so forth, to bring my attention in and simply go passive to those eyes that want to yammer about whatever, you know, how badly I'm treated or how much, you know, I object to whatever. So that's been my work for the week. And I can see that every time it comes around, I get to work at it a little more and go perhaps a little deeper. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. Thank you, Gay. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm sure none of us can relate to those waiting room eyes and feeling self-justified. Nobody here gets that. Thank you. Thank you, Gay. And thank you for your work. I also had an experience this week, too, where I was stuck in internal considering and couldn't get to the energy I needed to externally consider. So it sounds like you were able to bring in a work idea that was able to give you energy to at least contain, not let it, and the negative eyes were already activated, right? But how can you contain and then re-aim for next time? So thank you. Great example, Gay. Okay, well, thank you everyone for your sharing. We'll shift gears into our discussion for tonight. I'm going to bring my slides back up. And as you guys saw from the email, our focus for the evening, if I can get my slides to advance, there we are, is the second line of the work. And much we've already touched on here, external considering is a foundational principle in practicing second line of work. So I think we're gonna find a lot of integration here and integration with the ideas we've been discussing on self-remembering. So we're gonna spend a little time talking about the three lines of the work. It's been a while since we've talked about this. I think when I was looking in the archive, I had to go back to 2020 to find an evening where we were dedicated talking about the three lines of the work. So I'll talk about the three lines, how they interact, and then we'll focus a bit more on second line work. What is second line work? What are our opportunities for participation? What is the purpose of second line work and our responsibility? And we'll start with a little bit of inspiration from our dear friend, Madame de Salzman. So fundamentally, underneath all of this is that the work is alive. The work is alive. And it depends on us. It depends on our participation to live, to continue to live. And Madame de Salzman puts it more eloquently in The Reality of Being. She says, the work is a special current. Its life depends on the individuals entering it, who are each and all together responsible for what gives it quality, lucidity. A work together is necessary cooperation to produce something. like a chain of being seeking to be more conscious, whose efforts assist one another. The work will not live without us, without our sharing in the responsibility. So the work does not live in books or manuscripts or audio recordings. It lives in human beings that are practicing this and making intentional efforts to live the principles of the work. And here is our beloved Dr. Nickel, and Dr. Nickel would concur with Madame de Salzman. He says that we must make payment to the work. Then the work, nothing is free. Intentional efforts are required. And to make payment in the work, he says, we do this by serving the three lines of the work. So I'll go over those briefly. The first line of the work is work on oneself. The second line of work is work with others in the work. And the third line of work is work for the sake of the work itself. So you'll find more in the commentaries on some of these definitions, but just to give you an overview of what Dr. Nickel says, work on oneself is what we typically think about when we think about practicing the work. It is our efforts we make in study, in knowledge, and really getting our arms around the work ideas, applying those ideas to ourselves, observing ourselves, non-identifying with what we see, self-remembering, and then just some examples. Of course, all work principles we can apply to ourselves would be first line work, but some examples of observing interstates, mechanical talking, self-justifying, some kind of key examples of what we see in our daily lives. Second line work is working with others in the work. So this is about an equality. We're working on ourselves, and at the same time, we're serving our friend in the work. So external considering is central to this, the practice of external considering, as we've been doing this evening. Not taking in negative impressions of others is very important in the work. We do identify negative eyes and can recognize those, but not to take the person in holistically from a point of view that's negative. And to stop mechanical liking and disliking. So the third line of the work is where we also participate in serving the work itself. And first and foremost, it's really important to have right valuation and attitude. That is, you know, critically important. I think it can be really easy in the work to say, well, I like this idea, I don't like that idea, I'm going to focus on these commentaries. And that's something I did for many years, personally. I liked the psychology, I didn't get the cosmology, and I just wanted to pick and choose what I wanted to study. But I think over time, as I've grown as a work student, and the work has proven itself to me time and time again, the truthfulness of the work, the validity of the work, that I now can trust it. I can trust the work to be wiser than I am. And so something good for us to remember, especially as we're interacting with one another, that we wouldn't want to do harm to other people's valuation and attitude in the work, even if there's something you may disagree with. Help the work. We all work to support the proliferation of the work, the evolution of the work, the preserve the heritage that we've gotten through our teachers, and that we do so every week in talking about their contributions. And we do all that is necessary for the school, for all present and future work, thinking of future generations, how we can keep the work alive. And here's another lens, another take on the three lines of work. This is from our friend, Mr. Bennett. And I just enjoy him so much. I've listened to some of his lectures. This is a Sherborne lecture from January 1973 on the three lines of the work. He puts it a little bit differently, and it was a little more emotive for me, so it was useful. And when he talks about first line work, he says that we must care for our own being, that, you know, we can't give what we haven't received. And so that's very important. And much is hoped for us, that we can't understate the incredible importance of this project, of the evolution of consciousness here on planet Earth. We have no idea what this means in the scale of the universe. I think it's actually absolutely unspeakable what this means. My husband and I were watching a series on PBS last fall called The Universe Revealed. And, you know, they've put out all these satellites and telescopes way out into the edges of our solar system and beyond, taking pictures. And one of the things they're looking for are these exoplanets, so planets that are in other solar systems. And they're trying to find any attributes that might indicate the qualities that planet might need to sustain life. So water, an atmosphere, a revolving planet, some of those things. And they've looked at thousands of these, and they're just not finding much. You know, maybe one or two, possibly. You know, is it the right temperature? You know, may have some of those things, but not some of the others. And it just opened my heart to how incredibly precious this opportunity is for us to participate here and now on our little blue planet. He says the second line of work is really about that we need one another and that we are one another. And Mr. Bennett says that in the tales, Mr. Gurdjieff says that the aim of our life is to serve our neighbors, even if it's at our own detriment. So we can think about that a little bit too, sacrificing ourselves for the love of our friends and neighbors. Doing the hard thing. It's a very high calling. And third line is, he said, we must contribute to the cosmic process. We make efforts to serve our higher power. We make efforts to feed higher beings, serve the work itself, and serve the school. And here we're working with the energy of devotion. And Mr. Bennett says that these lines are mutually interdependent, that you cannot make progress in the work without working on all three lines. So it may seem like third line of work is more, for more advanced students, and he would say no. We have to get a grounding in first line work. We have to get some familiarization with the terminology and the ideas and applying it to our being and practicing self-observation. But we need to move quickly into participating in second and third line, because we're going to find that we're not going to be able to transverse the intervals and the octaves without shocks coming from the other lines of the work. So as I reflected on these teachings on the three lines of the work, one thing I can say that I've been guilty of is passivity in my own work, and especially since the pandemic started. I think as we moved into new formats, it became easier for me to be more passively involved. And, you know, one example that I saw in first line work is I would, you know, read through the email and kind of skim and not really take in the ideas, not try to learn, not try to see it fresh, thinking it was something I already knew and wanting to move on to something else. And that's something I've really been working on. I observed that about a year ago and really started working with journaling so I can, you know, force myself to really unpack each paragraph and work with it and think about what it means for me. Another observation I had is in participation in Journey School. Participation in Journey School is second line work for all of us. And I observed, you know, with such a large group, it was just easier to hide out. For those of you that weren't with us, you know, prior to the pandemic, we used to meet in person. It was a relatively small group. We would sit tight and close to the front of the room, and there was no hiding. There was no hiding. You needed to be there, your back upright, feet on the floor, and engaging. And you can see my little comfy chair behind me. That's kind of what I went to. Oh, I had these eyes that said, you've had a hard day, you're tired. Just sit in the comfy chair and turn on the Journey show and, you know, maybe participate. But it was easy. And so this is something I've also been working at, really leaning in, making efforts, sharing when I absolutely didn't want to share. I did that a few months ago. The last thing I wanted to do in that moment was share. But I knew I needed to do that for my own liberation and also to give voice to others that were struggling in the work. So my own experience a little bit there. I'll just pause. We'll jump into second line work here in a minute, but I'll just pause and see if there's any questions on the three lines of work. Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, one mechanism that I have found pops me out of my internal considering towards more external considering is really observe how often I throw aspects of myself that I don't like into someone else that I'm in relationship with, like particularly a sibling. And I just spent a week. Well, Kathy and I and were up at my brother's lake house in Wisconsin, and he and I are very close, 15 months apart. We tended to see things, and we were enculturated by the same things growing up. But we also share a lot of similar qualities that I would prefer to distance myself from, but I see in him. And so I found myself shifting towards, so what's that Ted Lasso episode about the dart game? Where he passes the Walt Whitman sign that says, be curious, not judgmental. Mm-hmm. And to be curious about what is annoying me in him that's really in me and what do we share? So I think it's a good technique always to be curious about where you're throwing your suppressed, buffered out aspects of yourself into others.
Yes, projection. I know that one well. Thank you, Steve. Okay. Well, we were going to try a little bit of a chat here. For those that want to participate, I will ask Mark to open up the chat room. And I know the email asked, one of the homework items on the email was, do you have a means of participating in second line work? So just want to see your thoughts on within our community, within the Journey School, within the Church of Conscious Harmony, how do you see opportunities for yourself to participate in second line work? We've heard some examples mentioned tonight, but I think there's more opportunities than we might suspect. So feel free to jump in on the chat with any examples of how you participate in second line work in the Journey School or in the church. Journey group. Yes, that's a big one. Work partners. Yes, we heard that example from Jackie earlier. Seva, that's another great example of a way we can all be engaging with each other in second line. yes, a spouse in the work. You have a permanent and 24/7 work partner. Seva, yes. CRT, the contemplative response team. Yes, silence, participating in centering prayer together. Yes, casual conversations with work friends, serving on centering prayer retreats. Wow, what a great example. Yes, very good. Eucharist committee. Yes, yes, movements. Yes, we heard that tonight. That's a big one too, to practice second line work. Brunch, wonderful example, Catherine, thank you. Yes, we can be practicing second line and externally considering with our friends in those moments. I think, and my friend Rodney also suggested the Lexio service. That's another opportunity where we can be growing and sharing of ourselves, and sharing of ourselves in a way that supports our growth and also supports the growth of our friends. Godly play. Yes, very good. Thank you. Youth programs. Yes. Thank you all. Thank you for your participation. Y'all had many, many more ideas than I had. So that's a wonderful list. So we all have opportunities to participate in second line. And the fact that you're here right now in Journey School is a tremendous example of how you can practice. So we'll go into back into the slides and talk a little bit about. Sorry, it's always how we can practice second line work with our beloveds in the work. So we've talked about this a little bit this evening. I think Mary Ann had this in our meditation. The moving center is a great point of engagement. And Mimi talked about last week the importance of keeping our feet on the floor, the tongue in the roof of our mouths as a way of grounding our bodies in the present moment. Observing your posture is a really important thing too, to be upright and erect. Not only helps us stay alert, but helps us to better receive influences from above. Observing tensions in the body. Sometimes tensions are indicative of an identification before the mind and the emotional center are aware. So very good to watch those. Practice of relaxation, as Mary Ann said, relaxing the small muscles of the face. Or just breath. If nothing else, we always can go to the breath and just breathe if that's what we need to come back to the present moment. Emotional center, we observe our emotions, we non-identify, and we make efforts to not express negative emotions. And we remember we always have the right not to be negative, and we would not want to harm our friends with those negative emotions. Refrain from mechanical disliking. Externally consider. And I was also reminded that when we externally consider another person, they always benefit from it. They always benefit when we externally consider them, even if we're not saying a word. And pray for help. That's unfortunately a last resort one sometimes for me, unfortunately. And sometimes that's the only thing I can do. I can't find the energy or the will to overcome my, you know, negativity. And so I can pray. I can always pray for help. The intellectual center can help us here too. It can also take us off track. So just observe the thoughts, associations, attitudes, make efforts to stop unnecessary talking. I know I have to watch this in particular. There's the eyes in me that want to embellish are not really trustworthy eyes. They don't have my best interest at heart. They really are trying to polish up the story and provide details that, you know, put Tracy in a better light, or they're just, you know, enamored with the story and think, you know, and share unnecessary details. So that's something I really have to work at. intentionally feed work ideas to our friends. We're learning the work together. And so very important when we see examples of those work ideas playing out to mirror that to our friends. We aim to practice work ideas, and we hold intentions of others in the highest regard. That there's always several ways you could take a particular statement or reaction, and we can choose the highest. We can choose the highest, and that's another way we can externally consider. And be an active participant, be engaged. So we're going to talk about why second line work is so important. And we did talk about earlier that the importance of working all three lines, that you can't progress in first line work without serving. But there are other considerations here too. And it is absolutely essential. Dr. Nichols says that if a man only wishes to work on himself, he will get nowhere. So the only cure for the love of self, which is the personality, which is the ego, the only cure is love for others or love for our higher power, our love for God. And so that's where the other lines of the work come in. And Madame de Salzman says, liberation is to be found in the disappearance of the ego and union with everything and everyone. And I know to me that sounds like a huge relief. I would love to have the ego disappeared and to experience that union. And second line work, we get to serve others. So we have the deep and honored privilege of being able to work for the arising of each other. We can work for the arising of each other. Just take that in. An incredible gift to be able to serve one another in that way. And Mr. Bennett says that when we do second line work, we're working with the energy of reconciling force. And I was a little surprised at that statement, but when I reflected back on our teachings on self-remembering, which also works with reconciling force, third force, I was remembering Rodney Collins' diagram of the tree and himself and God. And so it was like the tree could be our beloved, right? So it's remembering myself, remembering my beloved, remembering us both in God. And that is the energy of love. That is the energy of love. And Mr. Bennett says that equality is required, is absolutely required. There are no teachers. There are no students, there are no leaders, there are no followers. That we have to see that I have a contribution I need to make to my group. And in turn, my group has a contribution they need to make to me. We all are learning from each other. And we work to not be dependent, not in passive force, nor dominant, not active force. We're working to be in reconciling force, in equality, in love. And we remember that second line work also supports our first line work. And first and foremost, the ability to see ourselves. We just can't see ourselves. We really can't. The ego is quite ingenious in cloaking its motives. So we need our friends in the work to help us to see ourselves. And sometimes it's just being able to say it out loud in work terms, being able to anchor an observation outside of ourselves gives and sharing it in kind of a confessional way with one another. We get tremendous insights from that. So a very important part of second line work. We obtain a deeper understanding of work ideas and their application. It's kind of like the analogy of the blind man and the elephant, right? You have the five blind men touching different parts of the elephant, and they're all sharing their experience of what an elephant is. And so as we have those individual experiences and we share them, then something higher and greater is created as we bring that together. And our honoree this evening, Beryl Poxon, also reminds us that second line work supports the third line. And so we won't spend much time on this, but it's important to know that when we're working together in groups or with work partners, that we're actually able to create a higher energy. And this is not an energy that we can access on our own. It is something that we have to obtain through group work. And I think we've probably all had that experience of, you know, after journey school, having that sense of, you know, high energy, high hydrogens, feeling very elevated, or from journey group or from a work partner conversation, that we just feel our hearts uplifted in a way that we hadn't experienced before. So this finer energy is serving the third line. And Ms. Pogson says, Mr. Gurdjieff speaks of our cosmic duty to create a very fine energy needed by conscious humanity. When energy is created, perhaps by group work, some goes into the eternal accumulator. This can be used for the redemption of humanity. Wow. So the work that we're doing together is serving the redemption of humanity. Incredible. So, Madam de Salzman will help round us out here and remind us of our responsibilities, that we have an obligation to exchange, to accept help from each one, and to play his role, have each one play his role. We come together, we must be prepared to speak, we must constantly reflect on our own work and not come in a passive state. And she also mentions this idea from Beryl Poxon that I'm not alone in my work. When I decide something for myself, I have to feel my belonging to the group. Its life is greater than my own, and it represents something more on the scale of higher being. So the being of the group is higher than my own. The being of our journey group is higher than my own. The being of the journey school is higher than my own. Lots of force can be taken from that. And just a word from the contemplative Christian tradition to know that this is not just an idea in the work. But our monastic friends experience the importance of second line work, although they don't call it as such. So Father Merton here, probably the most famous monk of the 20th century, lived a monastic life. That life was not just silence and solitude and prayer. It was also living with a group of men 24/7 who were also trying to do the same thing, live a life of prayer. And Father Merton says that living with other people and learning to lose ourselves in the understanding of their weakness and deficiencies can help us become true contemplatives. For there is no better means of getting rid of the rigidity and harshness and coarseness of our ingrained egotism. Even the courageous acceptance of interior trials and utter solitude cannot altogether compensate for the work of purification accomplished in us by patience and humility and loving others and sympathizing with their most unreasonable needs and demands. So I would just encourage us all to take courage, to really examine our own participation in second line work, how can we really find that balance of not being passive and not being dominant, but really finding that equality and being present in ourselves as we're present with our friends and truly externally considering as best we can. And if we internal consider, that's just being a human being. And we know that external considering is the antidote for internal considering. So I'm afraid my time is up, but thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for your conscious participation this evening. And I'll hand it back to Marianne.
Thank you, Tracy. What a great blessing it was. Everything that was shared, being wise, presence wise, word wise, among all of us. Thank you. Thank you. So I'd like to close with a little story from Rodney Collin about two people walking together. And let's think of those two people, perhaps, are our companions in the work. So he says, two people were going home when they met the master without recognizing him. He accompanied them on the road and taught them. When they arrived at Emmaus, he entered their house and revealed himself as the divine master. Those of us who go by the fourth way meet the master without recognizing him, and he teaches us. If we invite him into our house, into our relationships, he will manifest himself to us. For this to happen, it is necessary that we should be at home, that is, present in ourselves. And so it is, dear friends, that we close our time by joining together in praying aloud, wherever we are, the prayer of God's love, that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and to sleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.